Well, go ahead and open your Bibles up to Revelation chapter 16. And as well, you might just put your finger in because I want to read from Matthew 16 here in just a moment as we begin. But last week in the 15th chapter, we heard that wonderful announcement of the seven last plagues. Praise God. The seven last plagues that are going to fulfill the wrath of God. Those seven last plagues are filled with all of the wrath, and this wrath is going to be completely poured out, and it is going to culminate, and he will be exalted. Praise God. But we saw, even though at the very beginning, as it said there in 15:1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. We thought we were going right into those plagues, didn't we? But we saw that the Lord had a different plan. His thoughts, his heart was still upon the description of his glorious bride. Those seven wonderful angels. Again, the seven angels representing the company, also known as the four living ones. The company also that will be the bride, the Lamb's wife. And I thank the Lord as we've been going back and forth and through the scriptures. We know that these seven angels are not angels per se that you think of as Michael and Gabriel. We saw very clearly that as John would walk through with this one of the seven, he'd begin to bow down and worship him. And that one of the seven would pick him right back up and say, "Now, John, you stop that. You see that you do it not. I'm redeemed. I'm one of your brethren." So we know, praise be to God, that is a redeemed soul, but a very special redeemed soul, one so Christ-like that the one that laid his head upon his breast could not tell the difference. Now do you see, even a little bit more clearly, from glory to glory into his very image, praise be to God. Now there shouldn't be left a hair not standing on your body, as we go on, because this is true, because this is the only truth there is. Now, we saw him give description of this, all of the facets he brought out about her, the jointly ruling and reigning facets, the judgment that she'll bring. So glorious, we saw how illustrious was the white that she was given, the very image of her, the same very glory. The same very glory, the same very lampros white of Jesus Christ himself. Full maturity, the very beauty, the glory of him. And noting so specifically that every step of the way through this tribulation, with every step of judgment, she is there with him, pouring this out. Praise God. See, this is what this means to God. This is what this means to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why he sits patiently at the right hand of the Father until the Father says, "Son, it's time. It's time." Praise God. And he waits for us. Now, Matthew 16, 27. Here it is, and here's what we're going to go into. And maybe now you'll read this verse with me and you'll see it even in more light. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father." See, he's going to take the throne of as God, is he not? Amen? And this is this process that we're coming into right now, that he is taking the throne as God. He has his wife, and we've seen even visions of him with his feet of brass, his eyes of fire. We see this judgment has come. "But for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels." Those are the seven. That's the bride. This is what this is speaking of. "And then he shall reward every man according to his works." Praise the Lord. And this is this judgment, and this is exactly where we are at. So, let's go ahead and read about Jesus in us here in chapter 16, also known as "Christ in Me, the Hope of Glory." Praise be to God. Let's read the first 16 verses of 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. So note that the sore fell upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches, keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Praise God. Getting to be the final culmination here. And we'll go ahead and stop there right at the announcement of that battle, Armageddon. But notice again, we began this 16th verse with the trumpet voice of the Lord. I love those voices of he and his wife. They're trumpeting voices. They holler back and forth. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And this is what this is. This is exciting time. I believe that this is truly, in a great sense, this is the honeymoon. Get down to the garden, my love. Let's rise up early and get down to it. Amen? Let me tell you something. This is an exciting time for those that are in tune. By the grace of God, I believe those that are believing and receiving this, it's almost as good as being there. Praise the Lord. I'm getting a vision of it. Amen. Walking through these things. Praise God. And this is how the Lord does it. So he commands the wife, the company of the seven angels, to go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God. And do you remember last week when they each had the sickle? Who was the one that told who to thrust in the sickle? She was the one that told him to thrust in the sickle. Wasn't that sweet? So now he's telling her, huh? Go ahead, honey. Go pour out them vials. It's just beautiful. See the harmony here and the exchange and the ruling and reigning jointly together. Just accept it. Don't try to figure that or noodle that out. You'll quit. Just accept it, thank God, and run. Praise the Lord. So this is what we have here, is this wife, this company, pouring out these vials of wrath. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 25. In 25, verses 16 and 17. And this is speaking of the wine cup of fury. And boy, is it going to be a wine cup of fury. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad. They are mad. Because of the sword that I will send among them. See, they don't repent. Remember we just read that? They don't repent. They're mad. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. See, we're talking prophecy there. I believe Jeremiah, praise be to God, is encouraging us who believe. You going to take that cup? That vial? Praise God. I want it because he wants me to have it. He died for me to have this. He made the way for me, praise be to God, to be of this company, to rule and to reign jointly together with him. But this is the beginning of the wrap up of this, again, final half, this last part of the final half of the Great Tribulation. Now notice the first vial here, getting back to chapter 16. It said grievous sores. What this means is offensive, harmful diseases. And as the Word of God says, there'll be a time where there's diseases without name. And we're starting to see that. Isn't it amazing how many new things are coming up all the time? New types of infections that they don't have any type of vaccines for, or any type of antibiotics. And then there's another one, and another one, and another one. And and it's almost like they make up names for these things, and they probably don't even have names, as the Word of God says here. But this is what this will be. These are plagues that are coming forth. Yes, they're plagues in type, like those that we saw in Egypt, but these are plagues that the earth has never seen before. But notice this, these plagues are only poured out on those that receive the mark of the beast. See, God always protects his people, and he does, and he's going to protect them. And I thank the Lord. And yes, there will be saints, as we know, that some of this final company of Thyatira, some of those will be the saints of Thyatira that pass away. And just like the bride of Christ, there's those that are in the bride of Christ that have passed. That's the church of Smyrna. Amen. And then there's the ones that will live to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Known as the church of Philadelphia. And it's same thing in this little sweet company of Thyatira. There will be ones that will be killed during this tribulation time. And those ones, as we saw back in Revelation chapter 6, are those saints under the altar. But there's also a part of their company, praise the Lord, that will live on and live through. And we thank God again as he shows us that precious type of faithfulness and presence of the Lord and his powerfulness in all of these precious company that he calls. And you'll notice, and as we get to it, and we've kind of already read this, when he prepares a people, like he's preparing the bride right now. And they're awake to it, amen? And alive to it. But there's many that are asleep to it. And we're talking the ones that are dead to it are just dead, but then there's ones that are asleep, and we know those are our brethren that don't see and are not, by the grace of God, loving his appearing. But that readied company will go. But then there will be another readied company. That innumerable multitude, they'll be ready. And it's coming at the exact time, just like the exact time of the bride. And then there'll be another company that'll be ready and looking. The 144,000. Amen? But at that time, there'll be ones still that won't be ready. And that's the church of Thyatira. And then you have that company, praise God. And those, again, there'll be those that'll be killed during that time. There'll be those that live through. But that will be the remnant, brothers and sisters, that will go on in to the millennium. That will be that wonderful nation, Israel, in that sense. And they will be preaching to all the nations. And we thank God, again, for that precious encouragement that he, the Father, will have a faithful wife. And it will be Israel. Praise his name. It's so wonderful. His word's so perfect. It's just exciting that he opens our hearts to receive it. Praise his name. So, again, God protects his people. Only those that receive the mark of the beast and receive and worship the image of the beast receive these things. And God smote those infidels in the Old Testament. See, you think again about in Egypt, and it's so precious, when those that had the blood over the doorposts, he passed over that. That plague did not strike that home. That death of that child did not come into that household. Amen? But it sure did to the unbeliever. Those, again, that did not receive the blood of the Lamb. But these sores, you think of the Old Testament times, there were boils. I love the hemorrhoids. That's also known as hemorrhoids. And those types of things. Oh, they hit them so hard. Remember, they were miserable. Matter of fact, they're so miserable, they got wiped out in battle. They didn't actually battle. It just happened that fast. But horrible, horrible things. But once again, as the Word of God has told us of this time, man has never seen, and especially unsaved man, has never seen times like this. So we know what God has. Now, going on to the second vial there. In the second vial in the third verse, this speaks of the wrath, this blood upon the sea. Now, anytime we hear this upon the sea, this speaks of the Gentile nation. Now, you have to remember, already in studying, we've seen a quarter of the world population taken out. We've seen a third of the world population taken out. Let me tell you something. There's a dying and a dying that goes on all the way through this tribulation time. And now it's going to culminate in this battle in Armageddon. And we've read and studied that this is going to be so much bloodshed in this one battle. You're going to have a river 200 miles long and 5 feet wide. And yes, that's a 200 million man army that's going to come down in there. And you notice, as we read too about that Euphrates, it says he dries up the Euphrates. Where are those armies coming from? They're coming from the east. Think of the one that recently, in the last couple of years, had announced and made known they have a 200 million man readied army. And see, they weren't sent that by man. They were sent that number by God. And they're happy to profess it, even though they're unbelievers. But it was amazing to note, and you can find that, if you know, you can, as they Google things, you know, today. But you'll find that that number was exact. They didn't say 150 million. They didn't say 250 million. They said, we have a 200 million man ready army. And that's just one country. So praise the Lord. And we see these things assembling. We see this war and rumors of war more and more all the time, are we not? Shoot, you can't turn on your TV anymore. A ship's here, a rocket's launching there, all of these different things. Brothers and sisters, let me explain that to you. That's war, and that's rumor of war. Amen. It's upon us. It's exciting. And the Lord help us to not be distracted and begin to really look up. So this is a great time of war. The blood is going to flow so much. That's why I say this encouragement here is the nations of blood. Now, some people say, could this be the actual waters, the actual life that's in the sea? Sure. Brothers and sisters, as we read back in the 8th chapter, they're going to block the ports. They're going to mess up all of the commerce. All of these things are going to be, they're going to be horrific things that happen. I mean, you even saw this. They had just a spill, as they call it, over there in Japan. And they're finding that that radioactive material that's coming out is just tremendous. I mean, tens of thousands of times more deadly. Just coming out every single day from something that just cracked, that didn't necessarily was an explosion, that's killing the fish, that's hurting that whole area around Japan. That's just one little teeny thing. God help us to take note. And the Lord doesn't need that, you understand. But I'm sure that he'll allow this sinful man to unleash upon himself, which he's done time and time and time again throughout history, to prove how war is the only thing in the heart of man. You push man hard enough, and they're all going to war. And they are, and you're seeing it. People that thought they were peaceful. Let me tell you something. The only people that are peaceful are people that are yielding to God. Because I'll tell you what, as a Christian, I'm not peaceful when I'm not yielding to God. And you know it. So these are things, again, we need to pray for. So you get to the third vial, and it says was poured out on the, in the fourth verse, poured out on the rivers and the fountains and the waters. That speaks of, if you recall, basically the teachings of this time. Because, see, the teaching should be rivers of water flowing out our bellies. But no, this is like poison. This is, as we read earlier, the wormwood, the waters of death. And the reason they're waters of death is because there's no truth. Truth, it's pretty much evaporated completely from the earth. And you have to think about it. There's not many of God's precious people left on the earth at this time, is there? They've all been taken to heaven, all in these precious companies. But praise the Lord, there's that remnant. And the Lord is always faithful to his word, even if there's just one. That's what's so beautiful. And he is, and he's going to be faithful to these ones. And this is that precious company that he, again, has appointed for this time. But it's wonderful because here we have this pouring out will be all of this false religion. Brothers and sisters, there'll be no place to hide. Now, once again, Could this be a literal thing? Could these waters be very polluted and different things of that nature? Well, sure. I mean, my goodness, look at those poor people up there in Flint, Michigan. I mean, brothers and sisters, we think we have this and this and this. But for God, we don't have anything. And you need to realize this. He made this earth and heavens and earth, and he knew it was good. And you think about how good he made it, because man has sure been after to destroy it and destroy one another. And yet God and what he created, pretty amazing. Matter of fact, very amazing. But going on, and I love this, here in verse 5, I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, thou which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus." And then you kind of couple that with verse 7, which is so beautiful. This again is the bride telling her husband how beautiful his virtue is, how wonderful his judgment is, how just marvelous this pouring forth is going to be. And this is the very righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. See, the world has rejected our Lord. The world has rejected him for thousands of years. And now so wonderfully, so righteously, so beautiful, judgment has come. As it says in Psalm 19, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Praise God. See, those that loved the Lord all the way out through the Word of God, they loved his judgment. They loved that the precious power. And really what it does is it gives glory to who God is. As the Lord said, "I am that I am." He's all in all. There be no power but of him and from him. He holds the hearts of the kings in his hands. He moves them just like he does the rivers. See, I pray you understand this, brothers and sisters. People don't make decisions for your life. God does. God does. Man, I love that. As Jesus Christ, he told that ruler, he said, "You don't have any power. Don't you realize I have this and that? You don't have any power but from and of my Father." Are we not the sons of God? Are you not a son of God? Amen. Can I not, by the grace of God, speak the word so boldly as well too? Praise God. And this is, again, the encouragement to us. Now, verse 6 reveals the evidence of why this wrath, in some respects, is so poignant and, again, so powerful. Listen to the passion. "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." See, this false teaching has gone so far. And we've seen this throughout history, and we're seeing it right now. False teaching that has gone so far that it preaches, kill the Christians. We're in the midst of it, and we are. Once again, there is no peace. There's no peace without the grace of God. There's no grace without Jesus. And so you can put all of that together and how perfect this is. But this is why they have shed the blood, and they go so far, they kill the sons of God. And no wonder, if you go back to Revelation 6, 9, and 10, these are these ones that are killed at this time. Those saints under the altar, the church of Thyatira, those saints that have lived through, that weren't ready, or they weren't even saved at the time of the innumerable multitude. These ones are receiving salvation even after that time. And in verse 9 of chapter 6, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had." Remember we read about them? They're the ones that refused the mark of the beast. They wouldn't worship the beast. They refused that. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" See, these ones have just come out. See, these ones have been killed by this horrid thing. And praise God, it says, "And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So again, that more of them would die. But again, some of their brethren, it wouldn't be all of them. But the Lord is faithful and true, and he is going to give that blood for them to drink that killed these prophets. Yes. And you can see, there's a praise in the saints, brothers and sisters, for the Lord's judgment. There's an encouragement there. They're in harmony. Lord, we want you to judge this matter. They didn't come up against us. They came up against you. And this is what's so beautiful here is this wonderful harmony. These were murdered again in the name of the Lord. And there's a price to pay. Now, in verse 7, which is so mighty here in chapter 16, getting back there. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Again, that sufficient witness that he's mighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. We just read that of Brother David in the Psalm 19. And he says it in Psalm 119 as well, too. But then you get the fourth angel pouring out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch the men with fire. And here we begin, as we see this, I want to note out, because we're going to read it a couple more times again, these people refuse to repent when met with the Almighty God. It's just amazing, isn't it? But yet the word of God has always been like that. They have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. They didn't care. They knew that he had risen from the grave. And what did they do? They paid the soldiers to say that the disciples took him away. They don't want to believe. And not only do they not want to believe, it's just like in Romans 1. When they knew he was God, they refused to give him glory as God. And neither were they thankful. Well, let me tell you something. Sin begats sin, and sin begats more sin, and more sin begats more sin. And you're going to wind up in this place of such vile and such hatred and such denial that it just becomes more angry and incensed. And this just ain't a few people. This is all the people at this time. They curse God. They blaspheme his name as these judgments are poured forth. And notice, they know it's coming from God. There's no guesswork here. They know God's doing this. And they're still so hard that they blaspheme God. Have you ever seen that? I have. But this is going to be a time and a presence of this evil that the world has never seen. It's going to be in that kind of, if you will, unison and chorus of this massive hatred. But how beautiful this will be in this time. That the cleansing of all the wicked. He's going to cleanse it. The magnifying of his greatness, the time that so soon will come, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, verse 8, exciting here. That vial is poured out upon the sun. This is the fourth angel, scorches men with fire. And this vial on the sun will cause heat to come up on the earth. Again, a heat that has never been seen. Now, we've read and seen how back in the 8th chapter as well too, that this scorching that comes upon the earth, there'll be famine, there'll be drought. But it continues to get worse and worse and worse. And it's on mankind itself. It's on those men. And I love this as well too, because all of these plagues as they're coming forth upon the earth, God's still going to prevent it from hurting his people. Isn't that wonderful? Didn't he show you this, that he did it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Amen? It's pretty hot there. Those guys that opened that thing, you know what? They fried right there. And those were the mighty men of that day. Because they turned that up 7 times. And let me tell you something. It's going to be turned up 70 times 7 in this time. But once again, nothing's hard for God. Know that for your own life. And know this for right now. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful in this time. By the grace of God, let's not be fearful in our lives. Amen? Because his perfect, complete love, that complete love, See, there's a love that's completing you. Cast out all fear. Amen. Praise God. So we trust this and pray for one another how God does this. So now, the sun flares. I love the some of the things that I think maybe they know, that they tell us they know. But sun flares are the equivalent of millions of 100 megaton hydrogen bombs exploding at the same time. So that sun, when it does its little flare, it's hundreds of millions of 100 megaton hydrogen bombs exploding at the same time. 10 million times greater than the energy released from the largest volcanic explosion we've ever had. 10 million of them. Recently, they had some sun flares. They believe, if you kind of followed it, it causes our wildlife, our nature, to do funny things. All them poor whales, they beach themselves. They really believe that it was the sun flares. The electromagnetic fields, it messes things up. We know that there's things that are done there. But there's going to be a literal scorching upon the earth. You know, they talk about global warming. I don't know. But I know this is. This is going to be global frying. And it will be. Again, for the unbeliever. So remember that. God is faithful to his people. And this is what it will be. But once again, I want to just really emphasize this. They don't repent. You know, I want to be quick in heart to tell the Lord I'm sorry. I know I'm forgiven. But by the grace of God, when I fail and when I will fail, I want to tell the Lord I'm sorry. Lord, I know you're doing a work. I know it has to be you that works this. Because I realize I can't do a thing. I need you to work this in my life. And I know you will. You told me, you promised me that you'll perform the good work which you've begun. And I know that he gives grace to the humble. And I know that he tells us that his grace is all sufficient. Amen? So his grace, we know, is the power, praise God, that enables us, that wonderful gift that he gives us, many of the gifts that he gives us, but the one that he gives, which is so beautiful, is him, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Take the grace of God. And that's what's so beautiful. But oftentimes with the grace of God, there's waiting, is there not? Amen? And it's calling those things which be not as though they were. And I mean that for every weakness in your life and even the failures of your life, brothers and sisters. I promise you, by the grace of God, listen to the word of God. It's true. Call those things which be not as though they were. Wait upon him. Even if it might haunt you from time to time. Even if it grasps you from time to time. In the name of Jesus, call those things which be not as though they were. He'll bring it to pass. He will. You pray in his name. Oh, that the Father be glorified in the Son. Oh, whatsoever pray in my name, that I'll do it. Amen. So we thank him for this precious promise. Believe God, you'll be happy. But notice again, they blaspheme his name. They know he's God. They know he's doing this, but they're so wicked of heart that they will not give him glory. They only blaspheme him the more. But you know what? God's going to pour forth more judgment when that happens. Just ask Pharaoh. Right? He hardened his heart. He thought it was going to stop. You hadn't seen nothing yet, buddy. And it's going to keep coming and coming. Now, you go on to verse 10. The fifth angel, he pours out the judgments directly on the seat of the beast. So now we're getting into the real governing place, the headquarters, if you will, of all of this wickedness. Now, this ungodly system that we're coming into right now, for years, ungodliness has been prevalent in a lot of different places. There's a lot of big religions of the world that have rejected Jesus. And this ungodliness is ripe right in every one of them. Know it. Now, we've seen, and we will go in to see more types and shadows of this, the golden chalice, the scarlet, the red, all of these different things. We get a good vision of Rome. We know Rome's been part of this system for a long time. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. This great harlot is going to make Rome look like a kid. Because this time, brothers and sisters, her vile fornication will infect and disease every ungodly religion into her bed. The occult that will come upon the world and will be worldwide of all false religions will come in to follow the beast. There won't be any factions, if you will, in this. There'll be one seamless hatred of evil. And God, again, is empowering this to be. He's allowing the devil to do this because it will fulfill the plan of God. As we read about the three frogs that we're going to read of here in a minute again, God willed this. God had this to be. He's got an appointment. He's got a date with the nations. Matter of fact, it's a table that's prepared, and his wife hath made herself ready. Praise God. And this is where they'll go. So just as in Egypt, the land was darkened at that time. It says that there will be darkness that will fall in the 10th verse. The seat of the beast, when this is poured forth, it will be full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. So much grief, they'll be gnashing their tongues for pain. Now this darkness is going to bring more than fear. It will bring agony, it will bring despair, horror, and death, because this will be such a dark time as well, too. There will be such depression upon the earth at this time that, as we read in Revelation 9:6, men will seek death, but they will not find it. They'll ask the rocks to fall upon them, but they will not find it. And brothers and sisters, they haven't even seen the lake of fire yet. He's going to be magnified, and it's going to be a magnificent judgment, what we will see. But God darkened the sky. You think about this. He darkened it with locusts. He darkened the sky just with his voice as he, our precious Lord, during his crucifixion. We've seen, even in our day, do you recall when Kuwait was bombed and all of them oil wells were bombed? They said literally for weeks they could not see the sun because of the smoke. That black smoke that came up from those oil wells was so thick. But brothers and sisters, God doesn't even need this, but it will happen because God said it would be so. Turn over to Luke chapter 21 and let's read there. So exciting. In verses 25 and 26 it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. This is the truth. So, even though all of this, notice again in verse 11, they don't repent, they blaspheme God. Again, they know it's from God. They know these pains and sores and darkness, but they do not repent from their deeds. Matter of fact, the word of God, and we've already read, they even had pleasure in continuing to do them. When you're possessed with the devil, you don't think right. You don't. That's, it's even beyond. It's beyond an insane. It's possession of a mind with just pure evil. So now maybe you can kind of get an idea why people that don't believe in the Lord act like they do. And when we don't, as Christians, yield to God, we sure can act unruly. Yep. So we need to be praying. Now, we come to verse 12, and in verse 12 it says that this sixth angel pours out upon the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east may be prepared. So once again, even before we get to the three frogs that are those three evil spirits within the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they don't have any power but of God. They can't assemble the kings of the earth, which they do, without the Lord and his bride preparing the way. Amen? Because this is what this vial is speaking of. See, that Euphrates River used to be something that used to be a hindrance for armies to go across to have battle. If it was a flood time, you couldn't go across there. And so it prevented any wars from happening. If you got on one side or the other, you were kind of safe, per se. But now we know in this day and age, it doesn't matter. But God, in what this is saying here, he is going, when he calls them, let me tell you something. He's appointed the wicked for the day of evil. And boy, is this a day of evil. And he's appointed this time. And he'll make that way with, again, his wife, which is so beautiful here. That sixth angel, again, this bridal company, will pour forth this vial. And here comes the way of the kings of the east. We're talking Syria. We're talking Iran. We're talking Russia. If you look at all of that kind of to the east, yeah, it's a little bit to the north. But if you kind of go over there, you got Asia. You got all of that stuff coming in from the east. And he's going to gather them, praise God, to this final battle. And here's what's so funny. You know no book's ever been printed as many times as this? Do you know this is in every language, multiple times over? This was the first book ever printed on a printing press. I mean, it's everywhere. Would you not think, if you were going to face certain death, you wouldn't go there? But God, and they can't help but go there. Because they will. Because it's the will of God. Praise the Lord. So wonderful and marvelous. When you think about these things and step back and say, it is amazing because we have such an amazing God. Praise his name. So, God will specifically do this. Back again in the Old Testament times, there was a barrier that prevented the armies from coming through. But God, again, will bring all of those armies in. God will specifically allow the devil to put in the hearts of these men for that war. Again, this place. And we'll talk more about our Armageddon, God willing, next week. Even the word, the Valley of Megiddo, so wonderful, the hidden meanings in that thing. And it's very vast as far as in some of the Old Testament stuff that gives wonderful, wonderful light to this. But this will be, again, that river that will flow for 200 miles, 5 feet deep. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 14. As we prepare for this, these precious prophets of old, they gave us encouragement through the word of God of this time that would be. In chapter 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. This is this battle. They're coming in there because there's such hatred for Israel, because it represents God. Kind of sounds a little bit like today, does it not? Did you get to hear Netanyahu talk about why a Jew is called a Jew today? Yeah, he said, because we're from Judea. Where do you think that is? I love his people. Praise God. And the city shall be taken. And the houses rife, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. There it is. Praise God. And take this so personally, brothers and sisters, especially as those that are called to the bride of Christ, he fights for you. And I'll tell you, you talk about a passion, how he fights for us. And then you think about the passion he has for us in that fight, because he knows that the only way to rule and reign jointly together with him, he has to allow us to suffer together with him and to will us and give us that encouragement to do so. I've always thought that's got to be sometimes. I mean, it's pleasurable to the Lord, but he's still, you know, he has made one of us. And if he cried at that time of Lazarus' death, I know there's great passion in my Lord when we go through those sufferings together with him. Know that. Praise the Lord. Gives me comfort to my heart. All right, verse 13 and 14. We see here that, again, these spirits that are like frogs out of the mouth of the devil, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And there'll be these miracles that'll continue to be worked. Remember how the false prophet did all the miracles of the Antichrist, but even more? And he did these things. And it gives us inference as well, too, that it is probably and most likely that false prophet that will have something to do with the Antichrist being raised from the dead. And the Antichrist, I mean, the false prophet, again, will not just call to, but enforce that you worship the beast. Yes. Give homage to him and worship the image of the beast. So these miracles are done that draw the kings of the earth to this battle. Because you can think, because you'd say, well, why are we going there? Why do we all have to go there? Well, they're not going to say that. They're going to go there. And they're going to be tricked and duped, and these magical things that will done, these miracles so-called, that this false prophet will do, and these ones, they'll deceive them. Remember, the devil can appear like an angel of light, even though he's pure darkness and pure evil. And he will gather these ones, as we just read in Zechariah, he will gather these ones to destroy Israel. They'll do that. And God, again, will prevail. The devil always means it for evil, but God always means it for good. Praise the Lord. So this will happen. Israel will be spared, and those nations will be destroyed. Let's go ahead and conclude with just verse 15 tonight. Now, this is a blessed thing, because the Lord, as we kind of said earlier as we started, it says here, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." The very next verse, it says, "And he gathers them to that place of Armageddon." So again, this call and this encouragement, "I come as a thief," we can take that for every company that's ever been. You know, we want to be looking for the Lord to come right now, because he's going to come the hour you think not. And as he comes for each and every one of these companies, even as he's coming in a sense, not necessarily coming for a company right now, but he's coming in this final wrap-up of battle, that's a precious timing mechanism for these precious saints that are still on the earth. They're going to see this battle come to pass. They're going to know this word. They're going to know this truth. They're going to believe at that time, without any doubt, they're going to preach this word, those that believe. And they're going to say, there's going to be a battle soon. And when that battle comes, our Lord is going to be magnified. He's going to wrap this up. He's calling them in to destroy us. But there will be that remnant of believers that know that God does not mean this for evil. He means it for our good. And this is this precious last pressing. I mean, just take this in such encouragement to us. And this will be our brethren that will be here at this time, waiting for this precious moment, this timing to happen. And they will be looking for him, praise God, to rise up and fight for them in that day of battle. Just as he's always done. And he will do, because he's faithful to his word. Now again, this is, praise God, the remnant. If you remember back in Mark 13, the third watch, when the cock crows right there at the beginning of the morning, that it's still nighttime, but that cock's crowing, that's the third watch. Remember, the bride of Christ is taken before the watches even begin. And then you have the first watch, and that will be the innumerable multitude. The second watch will be the 144,000. The third watch will be the remnant. And then the fourth will go into the millennium. That'll be Israel. So we have these watches that are, again, coming right out before us. And that's why he says, "I come as a thief in the night. Blessed is he that watches." This is one of those watches. Praise God. And this is the third watch of the remnant. And it will come at a time, as always, that those that are ignorant to it, they're blind. Those nations are blind, aren't they? Or they wouldn't go down in that battle to be slaughtered. They're going down there because they're so blind and just despicable, they think they're going to win. But they're not. Just like that old devil, there's a time that's coming soon that he knows he's but got a little time, a little while. So, this is wonderful. Now go on over as we close this, Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. So much here, I don't mean to cut it short, and I don't mean to labor you, but this is so precious as it culminates right here tonight. 11 and 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Remember the very start. The very start of the tribulation. The Antichrist gets Israel to enter into a 7-year peace accord. They enter into that, all right? Somewhere very close to the middle of the tribulation, that peace accord is broken. And the sacrifice is no longer allowed to take place. The worship is then pointed only to the Antichrist at that time. This is this time that we're speaking of. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So that will take us all the way through, basically, to the end of the tribulation. Blessed is he that waits and comes to that end. Now go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." This is the same encouragement that we've read many times over in Matthew 14, in Matthew 14, 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." This again is speaking of that sweet remnant that just continues on. Praise the Lord. God so divinely protects those living ones of Thyatira that will go all the way through the tribulation time and live into the millennium. That'll be the ones that'll rule over the nations. It'll be so sweet to see that at that time. So we get to this point. They will be the remnant. They will be Israel. I want to make this one point before we leave. Think about the Old Testament saints. Israel. Amen? But you know what? There were some Gentiles too at that time, weren't there? You know that? But they weren't referred to as Gentiles, but you knew they were Gentiles. But when they believed, they entered into what? They entered into Israel. Amen? Whether it was Ruth, whether it was Rahab, whether it was Joseph's wife, they entered in, amen? And they were known not as the saved Gentiles, they were just known as Israel. Well, brothers and sisters, we're back to that time. And that remnant will be, the majority of them will be Israel. But there will be Gentiles that will believe in this time. But they will be known as Israel. And praise God, this will be that wonderful encouragement as you go into millennial time that God so faithfully will do and encourage by faith. And God willing, we'll pick it up next week and right at the doorstep and into Armageddon. And what a time we'll have, praise his name. So as we heard many times, okay, now, go sit under the tree. Go sit under the tree and chew the cud till he come, praise the Lord. Sure love you, and I hope you're excited about really just being saturated in the Word of God this weekend. I'm so thankful for you all, so thankful what God has graced us with, and let's just be a prayerful, abundant, loving bunch. I pray you'll make yourself available to fellowship, especially those that are out of town. Gather as you eat these meals and things. Meet people you don't know. You'll know them real quick. But you know why you'll know them? Because of Christ in them. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.